Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey you guys, it is Thursday the 2nd of December 2021 and welcome back to the Steel Wars Hyper Chat. I am Steel Saunders and I do love Star Wars and I am joined by my cat Jerry, who's just jumped up. Jerry, say hello to everyone. This is good audio. If you're on the audio podcast, hit now and you can see an Ewok cat. It's exceptional. And we have got a guest, Corey, for this week. It's from the Star Wars Underworld. It's Dominic Jones. How you doing?
Hey, I'm good. I'm excited to be here. I can, I just saw Corey recently, so I still feel like I can embody his essence really well for the show today.
You've had a recent taste,
yeah,
of that fine wine.
Yeah.
Hey, how's this? Speaking of Jerry, one of Hawes's friends did this for me.
That's awesome.
Jerry is Wicket the Ewok.
That's fantastic.
But you also had a sweet sip of Saunders.
Yeah.
We got to lurk in the scum and villainy cantina.
Yeah.
On a dark and dingy Tuesday night.
Yeah, that is the most cantina-esque time to be going out, is a Tuesday night. It feels appropriate at somewhere that's based on the Mos Eisley cantina.
It was good times. But I do I do admire, you know, you love going to all the cons. You know, that's where we've spent most of our quality time together around the planet. And you've had so much pent-up conless life for the past 18 months. You just get a whiff of San Diego Comic-Con.
Yeah.
You're on a plane out to California.
Yeah, that's shockingly accurate way to describe that trip. Yeah, because it was basically it's been almost exactly 2 years since I've left here. And I don't mean the Millennium Falcon. I mean where I am now. I've barely been outside of Toronto for 2 years. And so that's
a green screen joke to everyone just listening to the podcast.
Yes. So yes, we should explain this. Yeah. And I've barely left for 2 years. So I got an email one day from San Diego Comic-Con saying, hey, we gave you a press pass for Comic-Con 2020, which didn't happen. So would you like to come to our sort of mini event this November?
And as thanks, we will fly you out and put you up in 4-star accommodation with easy walking distance to the con.
If only that part were true. If only. But yeah, basically, I got that email. I'm like, screw it, let's go. I've missed this. I haven't been down there. I haven't seen all my friends down in Southern California in forever. And I've missed cons. I've missed San Diego Comic Con. So let's go and see how it is. And you know, as we got closer and closer to the con, it became clearer and clearer that it wasn't going to be San Diego Comic Con as we knew it. But it was still fun. It was a much more scaled down event. It's probably the least amount of time I've ever spent at Comic-Con whilst at Comic-Con, because you kind of saw it all in one day. Uh-huh. But it was still a good time. Like I have no regrets about this trip, and I was very glad to see you, to see Corey, and see everybody else down there. It was a great time.
Well, it certainly was a surprise to see you, Dom.
Better welcome, man.
Bang.
Yeah, that's how I felt about it too.
It was good time. So was there Hasbro there? Like
No, there was no Hasbro, there was no Sideshow, there was no Del Rey Publishing,
no Lucasfilm booth.
Like the only like regular Star Wars booth that was there was Kotobukiya. And they had they had some like they had a lot of Clone Wars and Bad Batch stuff there. Mm-hmm. And they had just like this little corner. Like it was a real tiny booth. You know, there were some toy companies that came and brought their big like presentation, their big displays, but none that had Star Wars.
So was there more space then just for wild independent retailers to peddle their vintage wares and stuff?
Yeah. There was the size of the show floor was like, in terms of the amount of space it took up, with maybe about 2/3 of what it normally takes up, but it was more spaced out to allow for, you know, physical distancing, social distancing, that sort of thing.
They did that at my Target as well.
Oh, really?
They took out all the middle display things.
Oh.
So now you just get to enjoy wide open play.
Wide open space. Yeah.
Like also, if you want to have plenty of space to roam, go to the Star Wars section because that's got like.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Just a big empty spot just, where that used to be. Maybe there's one.
Scare you.
There's like one baby Yoda just sitting there and everything else.
Yeah. Gonna have a few plushies down the bottom.
Yeah. So it was like that, but it was mainly like independent retailers. There were a lot of artists. There were a few like empty tables where they clearly wanted to have more there than they did.
You should have brought the banner down.
I should have brought the banner and just set up, and nobody would have said anything. That's the other thing. I'm sure we could have just set up the banner and just sat down.
They might have said that banner's set up very poorly.
Yeah. They would have said, hey, why are you using duct tape here? Why don't you have something to hang it from? I'd be like, well, my friend from Australia isn't here, so you can't set it up properly for me.
What are you gonna do? I was like, let me know if it's like good. Mm-hmm. And I might drive down. It's about like 3 hours each way. So it's a commitment.
Mm-hmm.
And then I got reports. It was like, yeah, it's just like a Comic-Con.
Yeah.
You know, it's not San Diego Comic-Con.
Yeah. Well, here's how you can tell that it wasn't San Diego Comic-Con as we knew it. Hall H, which is where they do the big movie presentations and stuff. The place that you and I, you know, we camped out for. Overnight for Force Awakens.
Vaguely remember.
Vaguely, yeah. J.J. Abrams bought us donuts, if you can believe that.
I've got the sugar somewhere.
Yeah, that space was used for badge pickup.
All right. So I Jackie like really wanted me to go. She wanted mm-hmm. me to miss it, like because she just knows that I miss it so much. So she was like really like. You know, making sure she had Harry covered for a day, and she was really, and I just said, I just don't think it's worth it. So I'm just gonna, we can just hang up here. And she's like, are you sure? And I said, okay, well, put it this way. Dom said they're using Hall H for badge pickup. And she just went, oh, okay. Cause she did it as well. She did the sleep.
Yeah. Yeah. And so I when I walked in there to pick up my badge, I'm like looking around like this is so wrong. I shouldn't be able to see Hall H as anything other than this giant space for 7,000 people.
I didn't earn this.
Yeah. Should have had to camp out overnight. Yeah. The one time it looked and felt like Comic-Con proper was on the first day when everybody was lined up to get their vaccine card checked. Because that was the one time the lines were like going like all the way down the convention center both ways. So that, like when I first saw that on Friday, I'm like, all right, it's looking like Comic-Con, feeling like Comic-Con. Then once you got your vaccine checked, you got a wristband, and then it like cleared out, and it just looked like there was an event happening at the convention center, but it wasn't the monstrosity, the best sort of monstrosity that San Diego Comic-Con usually is.
What a shocking time travel event that would be. That you've gone forward in time 2 years,
mm-hmm.
and this is giant line at the front of San Diego Comic Con. You're like, oh, that must be for the new mm-hmm. Ben Solo Black Series exclusive. And it's like, oh no, we just want to get vaccinated. Like, we've just got to prove that we've been vaccinated.
Yeah.
Shocking. Yeah. Now, we've got a bunch of stuff to talk about today. I do, but before we get to that, I'll run through. Tamir Morrison's talking Filoni, Boba Fett. We'll talk about the ramifications to the story of Star Wars canon with Rangers New Republic bailing, the HasLab Rancor debacle, and then we'll close it out with that dude at the end. And if you've ever want to be grateful that you don't have thousands of dollars to spend on a Disneyland hotel, Star Wars hotel, that dude will do it for you. So we give thanks to him. Oh, nice. Modern Sketches, drinking some fine wine and watching some Steel Wars.
That's the way to do it.
The fine wine we drink in our house is Snoop Cali Red by Snoop Dogg himself.
I was wondering. Mandalorian Season 3 guest star, Snoop Dogg.
Snoop! Although I don't think we'll see anyone from the Dogg family.
It's true.
I think we've had our last of the Dogs. D-O-double-G's, I mean, of course. Before we get to that, you went to Galaxy's Edge as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The rundown.
Well, it was a lot of fun. I finally got to ride Rise of the Resistance, which was something that I've wanted to do since, you know, before Galaxy's Edge opened. That was always the thing I was most looking forward to. And so I finally got to ride it, and I managed accidentally to have the timing of my trip work out just right, where I didn't have to do the thing where you wake up at 6 a.m. to, you know, join a virtual line and, you know, maybe get in, maybe not get in. That same week that I was there, they decided, all right, we're just going to start letting people line up. So I just went to Disneyland when it opened, went right to Galaxy's Edge. Yeah. And literally I walk into Galaxy's Edge and there's this line. I walk in at the other end of Galaxy's Edge and there's this line stretching all the way from Rise of the Resistance.
Vaccination cards?
No, no, none of that at Disneyland, shockingly, and a little disappointingly. You get in the...
Please!
It's good to know that Corey's here in spirit. I get in this line and these Disney cast members are coming by saying, "This isn't a line for anything. Get out of this line. It's not a real line." I'm like, that sounds like BS if I've ever heard it. So a bunch of people did get out of the line, but I'm just staying in line. And I stayed in line for about 15 minutes. And then somebody walked by with a big sign that said end of the line. And they walked past me to where the end of the line was. I'm like, okay, so you were just trying to, I don't know what you were trying to do earlier when you were telling us this is not a line. And then
And Dom's just standing at the end of the line, just going,
"This is why we do it."
Yeah, that's exactly what I was saying. And so just stayed in line. The line was about 90 minutes and then got in and got to ride it. And it's pretty cool. It is pretty cool. You know, even just seeing the sequel trilogy cast members again, in action as their characters, and just the experience of, like, you know, getting to go on this ride and having the Disneyland staff, like, be in character and, like, really in character with you, like the ones that are First Order officers, they stay in character and they, you know, they're trying to get you to stand in the right place, and they are doing it in bad British accents but with a lot of conviction and in a way that you want to listen to them.
I always listen to a bad British accent. Now, the ride, like, it kills me. I haven't been on it. I went to, like, a preview day of the whole park, but that wasn't ready to go.
Right.
And I did have, like, the magic experience of walking up Batuu at night, and there was no one else.
Yeah.
Like, we were there, like, till the bitter end, till they really scurried us out of the little test day. But, like, from what I hear, it's I don't know if it's the Star Wars, like, the Star Warsing of it as well adds to this, but it's like getting rated as like the best ride ever. Would you, where do you sit on that one, Corey? Corey!
Well,
I don't know.
You idiot.
Sorry.
I wouldn't rank it as the best ride ever. It's a lot of fun, but I think if you stripped the Star Wars away from it and you said it was just a generic like space adventure thing, I don't know if I would quite be as in love with it as I am, say, the Guardians of the Galaxy ride. Which is
the Guardian of the Galaxy ride, just the elevator ride?
Yeah. Yeah. And I love that ride.
Is that one better?
I love that. That is my favorite ride.
Better than that?
Yes.
Oh, that's not good for that ride then.
Well,
the up like, and down?
I love that. I love that sort of ride is my favorite sort of ride. I love Disneyland as an experience. I love going there, but the rides are for wimps as a general rule.
Yeah. Wimp.
And I want like rides that go fast, that make you feel like you're going to be sick. Like the two best rides, in my opinion, are the Guardians of the Galaxy up and down thing and the Incredibles roller coaster with the loop de loop. Because those are the two where I'm like, those are real rides. The rest of these are cool experiences. But I would rather have like a proper ride where you feel the wind. Well, for me, not in your hair, but you know, I would if I had any left. And where you just feel the speed and the adrenaline
through your ear hair.
Through my yeah.
Tom just takes his shirt off and he just feels it through his chest hair. I got a picture for everything.
Yeah, really. As a Star Wars experience, Rise of the Resistance is incredible. Like, it's so much fun from, you know, seeing the hologram of Rey at the beginning to, you know, interacting with the Disney staff, to the part where you are actually in like the car that's driven by the droid and you're being chased by the First Order and everything. And there is like a little bit at the end where you do like a mini version of the drop of the Guardians of the Galaxy thing, but it's like, oh. So like a pitiful, like tiny little bit of it. So it's an incredible experience. And I went and lined up to do it again after I got off. Like, it was that much fun. And I would certainly go again when I'm there. But if you want me to,
how long did it take you to get back on?
It was about 90 minutes both times.
No way.
Yeah.
That's not bad.
Yeah, it wasn't too bad. Wasn't too bad the second time, because I went later in the day for the second time, so it would maybe have been more like 75 minutes, but it was, you know.
And so just to be clear,
yeah,
that the buzzing a spot in the morning is completely gone,
as far as at least it was the day I was there, and it seems like they're done with that. On the app I was looking at it to see if I needed to do it, and they said we might bring it back if we feel we need to, but at no point on Monday, when I was there, did they have that for either for the Rise of the Resistance or the Spider-Man ride in the Avengers campus.
Okay. Ash says that they can't hear me that well. So I've moved the microphone closer and turned up my volume a little bit. How do I sound to you, Dom?
You sound fine. Yeah.
All right. There you go. Don't say don't listen. Don't say it.
I won't.
Don't. Oh, did you go on the Spider-Man ride, or did you just go?
I did. Yeah.
Ooh,
yeah.
You had a big day.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Like I just said, my two favorite rides are in the other park, so I had to at the very least go and do those ones. Yeah, it was the Spider-Man ride was cool. The only downside of that was it broke down right before I was supposed to get on it, so I spent ages in line for it. But it's cool. It's a lot of fun. It's like a shooting game, except you're doing, you know, you're doing Spider-Man with your hands to shoot webs.
Wow.
Yeah.
A graphic retelling.
Yeah.
I gotta save myself $150.
I don't know if it was quite that good.
Should we talk some Book of Boba Fett, Dom?
Yeah, let's talk about it.
Now, I feel like I just have to make peace with that. I'm going to love the shows, but I'm going to not like the lead up to the shows.
Yeah.
Same. Because I was thinking about today and I'm just like, well, this is just how they're going to do TV. They're not going to do any, any like character work before the stuff comes, like a film. Do you know what I mean? You get introduced to all the characters and stuff. And, some people love it. That I tweeted this out the other day, that we only know like two characters' names confirmed in the whole show. I guess this is how they're going to do TV. It's like we've got one or two characters that we'll let you know is in this show. And then after that, like, you've subscribed anyway. So, like, it's sort of like this reverse, like, they're going to deliver with the material. And that's how they do it.
Yeah. I feel like they were on this trajectory anyways when it comes to the marketing. Like, I feel like with every movie from Force Awakens until Rise of Skywalker, there was less and less and less of it. Because, like, with Force Awakens, it felt like there was something every couple of months from about, November 2014 until it actually came out in December. And whether it was, little teaser trailers or, pictures in Entertainment Weekly or anything like that. Like, it felt like there were little bits here and there that kept us going. And, it was at Comic-Con, it was at D23, it was at all of these events with Celebration. And it was a really, like, it was constant. It was there all the time. But at the same time, there was also this narrative that was beginning to form around that movie where people were saying, oh, I don't want to see any of that. I just want to go in completely blind. I want to go in and have my experience, my first experience with the movie, be like it was back in 1977, where I didn't know anything about Star Wars. And I understand that rationale. It's not how I want to do it, but I understand it. And it felt like the people who market the movies internalize that. And with each movie, you got less and less and less and less until, Rise of Skywalker felt like, they were doing some, but not as much as they could have or should have. And then with the TV side of things, it's even less. There's a shorter lead up to it. And yeah, they're keeping it as much of it a secret as they can. And I'm with you. I'd rather have much more. I'd rather see more trailers, more pictures. Like, the pictures in Empire magazine, they're cool, but they're like just the trailer. Like, you could.
Yeah, I think that's, it's more just, it's treading water. It's like, here's the clip. And now he's essentially still images from the clip. Mm-hmm. Like, but it just feels like, because it's maybe, it's a different, it's a different type of income where you're trying to get everyone to go see this movie on a certain weekend.
Yeah.
To get this big opening, to where with the streaming services, it's sort of like an ongoing rolling sort of thing. And like, it almost is like, the show will deliver and that will keep people. We just have to get people to watch the first episode.
Yeah.
And then, are you watching the Hawkeye?
Yeah, I just binged the first three episodes because the first two dropped while I was away, so I wasn't really focused on that. Yeah,
I sort of watched the first one and I was sort of working at the same time, but it just didn't grab me.
Yeah, it's like I'm enjoying it. It's not going to be my favorite Marvel thing. I think the best thing Marvel has done in years is WandaVision. Like, that was so weird and out there that, like, that was the show that I was waking up at I was staying up till, 3 in the morning to watch new episodes of it. Like, it was Mando season 3 sort of thing. It was cool. But the other ones just haven't quite grabbed me in the same way. And Hawkeye is just kind of continuing that. It's good. I'm enjoying it, but it's not getting me. It's not grabbing me in the same way that a Star Wars show does.
Debbie says, episode 3 is damn solid. Okay. All right. I liked all the other ones, like Loki and the Winter Soldier one. You know, they're all very different.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it seems like it's a different style just because of the revenue stream. It's mm-hmm. it's like a different thing. Debbie says, one thing Disney can do, they can market well. Well, I don't know. I was at Disney Plus Day and and yeah, they really dropped the ball. But yeah, I can't talk about it anymore. I can't.
Ultimately, what Disney does is they get people to subscribe to their stuff to go see their movies most of the time, Solo being a sort of a notable exception. So like they get their results. I don't know if I agree that they market things well, because like you, I'd like to see more. I'd like them to keep us sort of engaged at all times instead of us, you know, having to make it up as we go on. Like, I feel like I've heard more about Galactic Star Cruiser in the last year. Like that, like it's, there's been more updates about that than there have been about Book of Boba Fett.
I just be a little bit more open, like and put stuff on your site before Vanity Fair does, or not Vanity Fair, but Variety.
Mm-hmm.
You know, give us the treats. Give mm-hmm. us, Jerry, great shot there.
Yeah, like that's so good. That looks like you photoshopped it. Like, it looks like somebody created, you know, it looks like that.
Jerry's got his face just perfectly in the screen if you're missing out on this, on the podcast version. But anyway, in this SFX magazine, these English magazines, they seem to power on. Fennec Shan, Ming-Na Wen, says, in the Book of Boba Fett, there will be a lot of exploration of the dynamics between Boba Fett and Fennec Shan, how they complement each other and what they get out of that relationship. He sees someone she respects, and they definitely bonded with him saving her. It allowed her to realize that she might be better off not being solo anymore. She sees her alliance with Boba Fett as a very smart move, in the sense that she'll have somebody watching her back. I wonder if this is like stuff that's just her headcanon, or it's like a scene that plays out. Like, I might be better off not being solo anymore, Fett. Write self.
Yeah. Oh, that's like, that seems like that was right out of the show.
And even though it might be extra baggage to have to align herself with someone else, the reward for her at that moment is greater. And you know, Boba died, or we thought he did, in Sarlacc Pit. So I think both of them share that near-death experience in common. They both have a vulnerability that they understand. That sounds boring.
That's the whole show. That's just the two of them sitting around going, hey, I'm vulnerable too.
I'm vulnerable. Hey, Jabba's palace is now a safe space.
Yeah, everybody thinks that dinner that they're having where Boba's, you know, he says, you know, speak freely, and he reaches for his gun. Everybody thinks that's like this intense standoff. No, he's just saying, everybody speak freely. Like, there are no, there's nothing, there's nothing bad you can share here. Like, everybody Bosk, understands it.
Bosk says he's been having nightmares lately.
Yeah.
Like, oh, okay. What are they like? They ask, Tamura, it actually says in this, and it's hard to tell if this is editorializing from the writer or this is official, but it says in the story, the writer also points out that Boba Fett's ship has been officially rebranded as the Fire Spray. Its previous name was Slave One, and Disney has been taking it out of toys and merchandising for a while, eventually culminating in the current canonical rebranding. Now, I can only do one thing, and that's go to the Star Wars databank watch of the Slave One listing. And it is still called Slave One.
Yeah, this whole Slave One thing is odd to me because nobody has said anything about it. It just,
well, this is the thing, Dom. Yeah. On the text here, you know, with all these quotes and stuff, it sounds very official.
Yeah.
Right? But if you then think about it, it's like this magazine writer in England, and you think about it through that voice, Boba Fett Ship has been officially rebranded as a fire spray. Like, do you know what I mean? It doesn't sound as legit.
Yeah, Governor. Yeah, it's
in your blue milk, Governor. Fresh from the streets of Sussex, there. Sorry.
sounds like we're back at Celebration London. It's so odd because they changed the name of the toy, but all of the toys have generic sounding names like that. And
yeah, well, I think it's like I don't think it's happenstance that it's gone off the toy.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? Like, I don't think it's like that it just says X-Wing or it just says TIE Fighter.
Yeah.
I do think it has been taken off the toy.
Sure.
Because they don't want the word slave in the target aisle.
Yeah.
Sure. And to the whole thing, right? If they just decide we're not going to call it Slave One anymore, this is my opinion. Mm-hmm. We're just going to call it Fire Spray or just not mention it. Like, it still has not been ever mentioned.
Yeah.
It probably has in Clone Wars, but not maybe. Even like a live action. I'm sure they had to have said it in Clone Wars. How could they resist?
Yeah.
But if they go, hey, just to avoid any undue, reflections on our Star Wars brand, we're just going to call it Fire Spray. Who cares? It's just like, if someone's going to be caused offense by a name of like a toy or whatever, like, let's just change it and move on. It's such a ripple.
Absolutely.
And unless you've sort of got other intentions and the whole like, the legacy, blah, blah. It's just like,
it's absurd. Yeah.
It's just like, let's just, if something that is, it's just such a little thing, but it's it's like offending people. There's like, let's just,
just change
like,
it. Yeah.
Like it's like, I assume you're against slavery.
That's a good assumption. It's like, a good assumption and an accurate one.
All right.
Yeah.
I wasn't you know, I'm Dom. I wasn't asking you. I was asking the internet.
Right,
I know you
right.
are. I've yeah. seen you. I've seen you free many slaves.
Yeah.
You've told Ben Hart he can leave the booth for now. Oh yeah. My God, Ben Hart. I've got to give a shout out to that guy. He just put out this photo, just released, dropped it, leaked, of his upside down family car all smashed. And
and scary stuff.
He got away with pretty light, but his mum and dad are a bit banged up. And they're, I have to say, they are the nicest mum and dad I've ever hung out with at Star Wars Celebration.
Yeah. Accurate. Accurate. It's a real scary situation there for a minute with Ben, but yeah, really glad that him and his family are all right. And the picture is if you want to see something that'll frighten you, just go on his Twitter and see that picture.
It's like standing on a Coke can. Empty one.
Yeah.
Empty one. Anyway, back. Yeah. Ben.
Yeah.
Heart goes out to you, buddy.
Mm-hmm.
May you be barbecuing for days to come.
Yeah.
The article continues. One of the show's biggest challenges might be to keep the decades-long mystery around the lead character, and that was the reason many were apprehensive about even making a project centered around Boba Fett. Morrison addressed the issue. I don't actually think that was like a big concern. Like, we're going to make this show and say, oh, I've got to keep him mysterious. Like, I honestly think it's more the interpretation of they're going to keep the character, like, legit and have backstory to it rather than, like, we've got to make sure. Like, you're making a show.
Yeah.
7 episodes.
Yeah.
You're kind of putting him under the spotlight.
Yeah.
Sorry, go, Dom.
Well, it's another one of those things where it's like people have always said, like, oh, the cool thing about Boba Fett is he's mysterious. But, this is a character that they've fleshed out in a lot of things previously. And they've tried in the past to keep that. Some people have tried to keep that mystery. Some people have just gone all in on fleshing out his story. And I think at a certain point, you kind of just sort of got to go, if we're going to do stories about him, he can't be a mystery anymore. We got to let that part of the character go, which was part of the character at one point. But if you're going to do a show, like you said, you got 7 episodes. He can't be mysterious for 7 episodes. That just won't work. Yeah.
There will be a number of answers, teases Morrison. Some long-winded answers and some short and sharp answers.
Interesting.
Some colorful answers. Does that mean they're going to be swearing? Because that would be sick.
Well, see, I thought that's just him confirming that the show is not, in fact, in black and white.
Oh. We're filling in a lot of gaps.
Yeah, I mean...
I wonder if that's a hint to the Sarlacc.
Yeah, that's sort of the one that's like, you kind of got to do that one. Or in the case of Darth Maul, you don't. You just sort of say, yeah, no, he's back.
I just have to know, Devish, what do you strongly disagree to? Because if it's me, you're dead wrong, and I'm not even sure what point I just made. I hope you're talking about Dom's love of the Guardians of the Galaxy, right?
probably.
Or maybe Devish is just like on some ayahuasca or something, and Jerry's talking to him.
Oh, yeah. Jerry's revealing, dropping big secrets for everybody that's...
Okay. Devish says having a main character completely shrouded in mystery for 7 episodes sounds absolutely fascinating.
But you at the end of that, you have to reveal something about him. Like the fun of the fun of the mystery is eventually finding out who this person is, or finding out something, finding something cool. There you go. You think, oh, Boba Fett is shrouded in mystery, so. You know, there were no stories about him outside of Empire Strikes Back for a while. So you could imagine these things. You could imagine this cool version of Boba Fett, because he was just this guy who was on screen really briefly in Empire and Jedi. And then you move him into a show. You want to have some mystery around him for the run of the episodes. But at some point, too much mystery, I think you reach a point of diminishing returns where if you don't give some answers, the mystery overwhelms you and just sort of becomes uninspired.
I also have to, like, it does, it might sound fascinating to some. And that's like, that's just the way you like stories.
Mm-hmm.
Nice stretch, Jerry, by the way, right in front of me.
But he's managing to leave enough space for you to still appear in the picture.
Oh, he's a pro. He's been podcasting for years, Dom. Longer than you have.
Oh, I believe it.
If your money's on the line, like, it's a much safer bet to tell, like, flesh it out. Make it rich with Boba, like, backstory and reveals and stuff like that, because you want, I just don't think it's a good strategic thing to be artistic with this. Like, these shows, they just have to be straight bangers and kind of, middle of the road. I don't mean that's a bad thing. Like, but when you think the middle of the road is Star Wars,
mm-hmm.
like it's sort of, I don't think they're going to mess about with, flighty ideas right now. Do you know what I mean? Like, even with Kenobi, they didn't like, oh, we'll do a story about him on Tatooine and it's true. It's like, no, we're just going to do what's going to make the best show.
Yeah.
That barely fits within the canon. But like, yeah. I'm up for it. Like, yeah, yeah. Like I'm doing my a pre-Darth Maul it where I'm like, don't think that's not my mindset of what happened, but win me over, bad boys and girls.
Like, yeah, like if you said to me, what should a Kenobi show look like, just within your own imagination of what a Kenobi show should look like, it would be him on his own on Tatooine, just like having, you know, visions and trying to grapple with the fact and thinking back on his life. Like, he would never leave his little hovel there except for, you know, maybe go out and see Luke once or twice. But if you're making a show for everybody, you gotta have him fight Darth Vader. Of course, you can't not do that. That has to happen. So you got to do the thing that's going to be most interesting to most people, and that's where we are. And so
otherwise you're going to have like some thumbnail of Ewan McGregor, red laser eyes, Kenobi snorefest,
and a big red circle. Yeah,
too boring. we don't listen. We're on Disney Plus. We have no time for introspection.
Right? Yeah.
No time.
Yeah.
No time. Now, what's your dream Book of Boba Fett flashback? You know, I don't want to go on about it again. I do. You know, when he changed his costume, that's when and then they announced the series. I'm like, there's flashbacks for sure.
Yeah.
What's the one that you'd be like, you know, really, really sweating for, really hanging out and just willing to yell,
please.
Sorry, I had to vamp there for a second while I scrolled down to that clip. I was like, how long can I drain out this sentence? What are you gonna do?
This is always a tough one for me when people ask me like what is your like sort of dream scene? What do you want to see? Because I don't know. I want something that I haven't thought of. That's what I want to see. And so, you know, what do I want to see?
Right, do this for me then.
Yeah.
Don't think about the Sarlacc pit battle. Just don't think about it.
Gone.
Don't.
Forgot.
The end of Ghostbusters.
Yeah.
Don't think about it.
Out of my brain.
Hey, how's this? I only found out like this week that the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man is not a real character.
Wait, he's not?
No.
What?
He's not. That's what I've been told by an American.
Well, Americans never lie.
There's one, like, there's a little marshmallow dude that, like, that looks like they might have parodied him.
Okay.
But it's like Stay Puft Marshmallows. It's not.
Not a thing.
Not a thing. Can anyone in the chat confirm?
That is, I always assumed it was a real thing. But I, you know, honestly, it makes sense that it wouldn't be a real thing. But
yeah,
yeah, weird.
Because you know, a lot of things, especially in like where we were in Australia, like a lot of times you didn't know if things were real or not. Because we didn't get all the American candy.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I think it was, like, Reese's Pieces in E.T. And I was like, I don't know if that's real. And then in Seinfeld, like, Juji Fruits and Junior Mints and, like, all that stuff. It was like, is that real or not? Is that real?
Right.
Twix was real. I knew that one.
Mm-hmm.
The Pillsbury Doughboy.
Did you find when you would then go to America and you'd see the candy selection where you... more excited about it, or were you disappointed in it?
So the first time me and Jackie went to New York together, there's like one of those newsstands, like, you know, the little New York booths.
Yeah, yeah.
And they had Juji Fruits. And so Jackie was like thrilled. She was like, and she goes up and goes, oh, I'll get a packet of Juji Fruits, like from Seinfeld. Like, and the guy was like, was disgusted. And she's just wearing, he didn't care. He didn't care.
Oh, heartbreaking. Well, see, the one thing I dislike about going to America is that I find Canadian candy is way better.
Really?
Like, just, oh yeah, there's way better options. There's way, and it's like, just a Canadian Kit Kat versus an American one is like night and day. The American ones, oh yeah, the American ones are so much cheaper. Like, they're not as good. It, genuinely.
I wonder if they're like the Australian ones then. Because Jackie always says there's a difference in the chocolate, but I don't.
Yeah.
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 Devish Twinkies, I wasn't sure about.
Mm.
But I think I saw them in another show.
And you're like,
I was like, oh. Or if they all could have been part of the same universe.
Yeah.
There's like cigarettes. There's like red striped cigarettes or something that are in all the Quentin Tarantino films.
Right.
Now, my cat Jerry is in front of my other screen here to not be able to read out the next story. So you haven't got a dream flashback?
No, I'd maybe like to see something more of him, you know, rising through the ranks, like in the early days, like as a real young person, like in the dark times, so to speak.
I tell you what would be cool. This one I just thought of is we see them all the bounty hunters like talking and then getting into their ships after the meeting with Darth Vader.
Mm.
Just some special edition scene out of Empire Strikes Back.
Yeah, no, that's it. That's what I want. I want to see the right before Han and Lando and everybody shows up in Cloud City. I want to see Darth Vader and Boba Fett setting up that dinner that they're inviting Han to. I want to see like Boba, like, you know, he's got his like special
settle
dish.
Down, settle down, Seth Green. Settle down, buddy.
They tell us.
All right. So this is from Star Wars News Net, and they've got a new look website. So props to them. I didn't know what was happening when I went to the website today. I was like, what? And I was like, new layout. There we go. Good for them.
Nice.
Range of the New Republic not moving forward. This is from Empire. Ideas to be used in The Mandalorian and more Star Wars updates from Catholic. Okay, I shouldn't have read that bit of the article, of the headline. But she says, we'd never written any scripts or anything on that. Some of that will figure into future episodes, I'm sure, of the next iteration of The Mandalorian. Now, I think it's like this. They're working towards their Mandoverse Endgame event.
Mm-hmm.
And Ant-Man's no longer going to be involved. Like, they're not going to make the Ant-Man movies. Like, they're still going to head to the same apex.
Right.
But it's just like, oh, this character's not, like, or this sort of wing of it. Like, do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
that little puzzle piece and it will sort of, it'll evolve around it. Because they've obviously, you know, got some concept for this this peak.
Yeah, I'm curious to see how they do that. Because I was rewatching some of season two not too long ago, and the stuff they were setting up that, you know, upon reflection is clearly meant to lay the groundwork for Rangers of the New Republic.
The medallion.
Yeah. That, all that stuff. It was starting to shape up like it was going to be something really cool and really interesting. And I was sort of thinking like that there was so much potential for that character that, It only reinforces my desire to see the Cara Dune character recast, because I think you got to continue that story. That story was too interesting not to continue.
It's a poison chalice.
I know. I know why it won't happen. I hate that it won't happen, but I know why it won't. But there was so much there was so much there that it's a shame to lose it because the actor was a moron.
Yeah. Like I'm so sure. What's the X-Wing guy? Is it Paul Sun?
Yeah. Paul Sun Hyung Lee. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, Appa. I'm sure he'll have a prominent role in some part of the storyline.
I keep seeing on his Instagram that he's flying back and forth between Toronto and LA. So, it's interesting. They're doing some interesting stuff in LA these days with the Star Wars and, you know, filming stuff.
But yeah, I think it's, we're going to get the same endpoint, and just the journey there is going to be.
They were setting up interesting stuff with Cara Dune and the fact that she's from Alderaan and all that stuff. And there's more to be explored there, and hopefully they find a place for those ideas that they were going to use with that character. I'm not sad that Gina Carano's not around anymore. Like, bye. Like, I don't care. Get out of here. But I'm disappointed that we won't get to see those ideas fully fleshed out, because it was shaping up to be something interesting.
Devish thinks he's filming The Last Airbender, so
he can jump over.
Is that a dumb dream?
He can jump over from one set to the other real quick. You know, he can. If they need him one day, he's doing Avatar stuff. Next day, he's wearing an X-wing jumpsuit. You know, just he can travel between sets.
What a life.
Yeah.
Now, as Lewis says in the chat, there's a rancor on the screen. but we are going to talk about a bit of rancor. Let's get a fucking share this. Where are we at on this link? Hasbro Pulse Rancor. Now, if you haven't been following this is the HasLab project that, why isn't this,
there we are.
I do know you have to go soon, Dom.
That's all right. It's all good.
Isn't this picture coming up?
I see it.
Oh, can you not hear me anymore?
Oh, I can hear you. Can you not hear? Oh,
the hell's happened here?
I can hear you and see the picture.
Dom.
Yeah.
Dom.
Yeah.
Wait.
Oh.
I can hear and see the picture. What the hell does that mean? Right there. I'll see if maybe a quick.
Please. Please.
I don't know what's happened to my screen. I'm going to leave the studio, then come back.
Oh, I'm taking over the show.
Talk now, Dom.
Talking. I don't know if anybody can hear me. If you're in the chat, you can hear me. Shout it out. Let me know. And otherwise, this is going to look really weird. Go Jays. Let's go. Let's go Blue Jays. Okay, so you can hear me. Okay, somebody was asking earlier about an opinion of mine about the new Blue Jays signing, the new pitcher, Kevin Gausman. I don't know how to pronounce his name. I'm very excited about that. I'm sad that Robbie Ray left us. But Kevin is a good pitcher. I'm loud. Should I whisper? Should I whisper instead? Can't wait for SW. Yeah, me neither. That's in like 23. I can't wait. SW is in like 23 minutes. So Steel better get back so we can talk about this Rancor thing and wrap up the show. Yeah. The one downside of StreamYard, just to go back to the thing of me being loud, is that you can't see the levels anywhere. So we're left to kind of guess at it. So it's good to know. I'm trying to turn myself down a little bit, and maybe that'll fix it. But there we go. Yeah, he's gonna. Yeah, it's interesting stuff. So I haven't been following this whole Rancor thing. So I was very interested to see what was going on there. That I think that could have been that there's something interesting going on there. These Hasbro Pulse or these HasLab events always sort of feel very precarious. I think the Razor Crest was pretty like, all right, everybody was on board with that. But the barge and now this They see, the barge seemed precarious for a minute there, and I gather from what little I've heard about the Rancor is that it's perhaps in a little bit of a precarious spot too. But I hope they get it made. It looked cool. It looked cool. I wish I could have bought one, but I did not and will not, which is probably why it won't sell out. Oh, are you there?
I am, I think. I've got, wait there. I was trying to call in on my phone because I thought my laptop was going all crazy. So look.
Oh my God. This is getting out of hand. Now there are two of them. Oh, so that's what's on that shelf.
Yeah, these are all my bootlegs from Hong Kong.
Nice. That Chewbacca is something else.
He's got a wide up chest.
Oh, does he really? Oh. I'm not sure which square to look at.
Yeah, neither am I.
I can't hit the button anymore.
Oh no.
Maybe the battery's out of battery.
Yeah.
It's just lighting up a bit red. But I think he's got a Groot body.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I can kind of see that in the arm.
I've got to turn this off because it's why it's doing that.
There you go.
I have no idea what happened then. That was wild.
You went to share your screen and eventually the Rancor popped up and I could see it and I could still hear you and you couldn't hear me anymore. It was something
else. I call in on the phone and you just like, it's like the, the most professional podcast has ever been.
No, it's just taken over. I think it's the one and only time there's been sports talk on Steel Wars.
Oh, really? I you were talking about the Rancor when.
Well, yeah, we did a little Blue Jays update, and then we got on to the Rancor.
Ah.
Yeah.
Okay. So it's cool that they've listened and that they've got they're doing the Rancor Keeper, Mel Carly.
Yeah.
But it's baffling that you were so off the pulse.
Hey, yeah. Yeah.
Wordplay for the kids.
Yeah.
But that like your bonus figures were Luke Jedi and Salacious Crumb. Like Luke Jedi, of course, is like synonymous with the Rancor, but he's like, that's definitely not the Luke Jedi that everyone's craving for at the moment, I don't think. to not have the Rancor Keeper as like the first.
Well, and Luke Jedi is something that you can just sell. Like people will buy that Return of the Jedi Luke no matter what, even if you don't have a Rancor out. So just put that figure out for everybody. Sell some figures around the Rancor that people, even the people who aren't going to want the Rancor or aren't going to buy the Rancor, can get and might be into, and then use the Rancor as an excuse to make some of those, you know, rarer figures, those figures that are more niche, like the Rancor Keeper or Ula or, you know, things like that.
So, Hame says Rancor, no Ula, no Mula. Wow. Your protest march must have been banging. I love it. But it just seems so off the boil that these are the things that are gonna like they've tried to fix it. It's not gonna make the thing. I think it's like 5,000 something, and it has to be 9,000, doesn't it?
Something like that. I haven't really followed it because I'm not gonna get it. So
yeah. But it's a bad look for the entire Star Wars brand at that company that they are like.
But they missed the mark so clearly. So
yeah, but their instincts are so off what people want.
Yeah. It should be very telling that the one that was the most successful was the Razor Crest. It was something to do with what's current now, with what people are excited about now. You know,
that was that got more than the barge.
Yeah, yeah. Like, love the Rancor. The Rancor is awesome. That scene in Jedi is amazing. But why is anybody pining for a Rancor in 2021? No, people are excited about Book of Boba. They're excited about they're still excited about the sequel trilogy. They're excited about The Mandalorian. They're excited about Kenobi. That there should be, you know, Hasbro is trapped perpetually in this like original trilogy mindset. And they're only now beginning to expand a little bit outside that with some prequel stuff. But, you know, the things that are going to get people's attention are things that people are hyped about now or, you know, don't already exist in some form. You know, there were Rancors back in the day in the 3¾-inch scale. So the people that wanted Rancors that are, you know, of the original trilogy generation, they probably got them already in back in the day. So why not go with something that's, you know, in the prequel era, do pod racers or something, or go with something from the sequels or the Mandalorian, the things that are people are interested now. And again, Razor Crest was the biggest hit. The rest of them, you know, the barge just barely made it, and it looks like the Rancor's.
No.
I mean, it felt like it was kind of a last minute push.
I think it got like, I think it did pretty well.
Right? Okay, but either way, it's looking like the Rancor is going to be the thing that's the first HasLab failure, which is a shame. But even so, the barge had the excitement of it was the first one. It was also like one of the biggest things that Hasbro's ever made.
Right, the barge. Oh, maybe it did just get over.
Yeah, I felt like it was.
Oh, I don't know. It just says like backers, 5,000 plus backers, target 5,000. But it, like, that can't be the amount of backers. Wait there. I'll see what the Razor Crest one says. Oh, holy. Wow. Whoa. So I don't know if someone can confirm that the slate that I don't know, because the barge, it had a lot of like add-on things that people would get. Maybe they didn't add them on as tier things, I don't know, but the Razor Crest did 28,000.
Yeah, there it is.
Oof. Wow, that is exceptional. Now, but yeah, like I think, you know, they're both very valid projects. And if you get to, like, if you get it, like if they get to the we got it made stage, then, well, that's it. The people have spoken. It's mm-hmm. it's a win. Do you know what I mean? I don't.
Oh yeah, for sure.
But I think with both of these, like one was like a dream toy,
yeah,
and then one was like the hottest possible toy at that moment.
Yeah.
Like the Razor Crest is, that's the most epic Star Wars vehicle that's, I don't know since when, but you know, Naboo Starfighter, like, yeah. There's, you know, nothing out of the, really out of the sequel trilogy.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Sorry, my bloody power keeps going on and off my laptop. It's very frustrating. But, yeah, it's just... I also think with the Rancor, like in the pictures, it just looks like a real deluxe version of one of the 3¾-inch things.
Yeah.
And I think the only way to really sell it is to have, hey, you're going to be able to have the Rancor, some bones, Rancor Keeper, it's the one chance to get that, and Ula. Yeah. And granted, maybe they don't want to sell an Ula, but I don't like. Yeah. Like maybe they can't, like maybe I don't know. Like I sort of don't think it's a real blemish on, you know, yeah. it's
the movie. If you want to do the tiers and that sort of thing, like build up like a whole pit around it. Like have like something that makes it really really exciting. As opposed to, you know, making like a lot of the things that are the tiers should have just come with it, like you were saying. Like
yeah. Well, make Tom the tier does say
really exciting.
Tom does say it's it got almost 9,000.
Okay.
That's, which definitely jogs the memory. It's just their site has not got it. Like, yeah. It just hasn't. Like, because that's because it was on 5,000. I was like, well, it's not 5,000.
Mm-hmm.
Like, do you know what I mean? Someone on the, in the last second didn't go, oh, I'll just buy the last 13 to get it over.
Yeah. Somebody wasn't just sitting around.
Mike Pappas.
Just waiting for that moment to buy the last 5. Yeah.
You have to go awful soon, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But
we do have to watch this before we go.
Okay.
I do want to just put this up for a second because it's a cool picture. If this share screen, I hope this doesn't break the show again. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yeah. I said this. David Taylor. Ah. It's a Will Sliney cover variant for Star Wars Insider 2007 with Luke green saber ignited in animated form or, you know, comic book form in front of Jabba's palace. And I was like, mate, not a canon image. Got no interest in it. I did see the Ahsoka casting. I don't know. I Dom, can you tell us anything about that? A lady was cast for it. It's sort of like, I've got nothing to say about it, really.
Yeah. Yeah. Same. It looks, you know, that's the talented actor. Hopefully they're cool. They're good in Ahsoka. Like, that's sort of all there is to it at this point.
We wish you well. Now, where is this video? Can you, just while I find it, Dom, can you give a lead into what this is?
So this is this video that's been released to promote Galactic Star Cruiser, which is the like hotel cruise, whatever experience, Star Wars experience that they're opening this year at Disney World in Florida, where you basically check into this hotel and then you get to like role play as Star Wars for 2 days straight. And they have this whole adventure for you. And so they put out this video to promote it with a guy who I guess is from the Goldbergs TV show. And one of the Imagineers who designed this thing walking through it, and it is an experience.
He's not getting any Emmys for this.
I can't tell if he's supposed to be like in character or if he's supposed to be himself. Like, I haven't watched enough of the Goldbergs to know if this is just supposed to be like his character or whatever, but
it is like some. Like, it's it's like a parody of like a corporate clip.
Yeah, it's
like his bits anyway. So, how much is it to go to this thing?
It's like
$4,000,
something absurd like that. Yeah, it's four digits at the very least.
All right, so if you want me $4,000, let's get some a higher level of presentation.
Yeah. And Moral,
hello there.
Super excited to see what you're into.
We cannot wait to have you.
What is he even wearing in this thing?
He's acting like. I'll rewind it. This is Corey arriving at the Funko booth.
And Moral, hello there. I'm super excited to see what you and your team created. We cannot.
Like, did he just run there?
It's like.
Like, why is he.
He might as well have turned to the audience and been like, oh, I didn't see you there. Like,
wait to have you aboard, because Star Wars Galactic Star Cruiser is a first of its kind vacation experience where you get to spend 2 days and 2 nights living out your very own.
Those kids are.
Yeah.
Confronting.
That's like the
Where
most.
Are we back here?
I'm having so much fun.
Let me out! Let me out!
And 2 nights living out your very own Star Wars story.
Oh, I'm just too excited. We gotta go inside.
Like, it's a high end. Resort, like, yeah. It's the highest end of resorts, and this guy's doing pantomime with these
we gotta go inside.
Oh, I'm just too excited. We gotta go inside.
How old is this guy? He could be 13 or 27.
or 47. Like,
yeah. This time was for all the wrong reasons.
If people were all upset about what's his face playing a teenager in the movie of Dear Evan Hansen, like this feels like somebody playing like an 8 year old when they're in their 30s. Like, this is absurd.
And he looks like an 8 year old that's put his sweater on sideways.
Yeah.
That sides it. Is that like a Star Wars vibe?
I don't know.
Yeah, that's what I like. Is this his normal garb? Or is he dressed up?
Did somebody dress him and go like...
Because Star Wars doesn't have zips. Isn't that the thing?
Yeah. No zippers, yeah.
Welcome to the Halcyon Star Cruiser.
Wow.
This thing's going to be amazing for quips, for future shows. Corey's going to be haunted.
It's unreal. It's like I'm walking straight into a Star Wars movie, except it's...
He had to think... It's like I'm walking into a lot of these
theme parks, like
movie.
A lot of these theme park things seem like they gave the cast the script like a minute before they started shooting and said, "Good luck, there you go."
And it is similar to the tone of like the videos that you see upon entry of a ride sometimes. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? But
yeah. This is going to be the first thing you see when you get on the Galactic Star Cruiser.
In the middle of it all and in the middle of the action. And then there's activities you can do on here.
Yeah, there are.
There's activities. Can you believe it, Steele? There's activities.
Look at his face. He's pumped.
Yeah.
imagine getting on, you go on it and he's next to you in the line to go in. He's like, I hear there's activities to do in there.
This still looks like it's like from a still from like a bad Star Wars parody on like a sitcom. Like it looks like this kid is the big Star Wars nerd on the show and he's having a dream and she's like his mom on the show. And it's this like sequence of like in Star Wars and a dream on an episode of, you know, the Goldbergs or the Big Bang Theory or whatever.
Oh. On board the ship, the first one that I'm really excited about is lightsaber training.
Oh my gosh.
Here on the...
Oh my gosh. I have to go through and quit.
Bridge, we also invite all of our guests to do bridge operations training. And occasionally, this is where we can...
Hit that one. Is this going to zoom at all? I won't do it for you, but just watch his little face, just as she talks.
This is where we can go to hyperspace.
Acting.
So we've really focused on making sure we have some of the best entertainment in the galaxy on board. One of which I'm...
He does look like he's animated by whoever did Ezra. He's got that sort of... He does look like he's about to trip over a box or two.
Excited about is... this pop star who is known throughout the galaxy for all...
His like little moment of decision there of like the shrug of like, I guess I'm going in. Acting.
How old is he? What's going on? I just popped through that.
I don't think he's old enough to drink. This bartender should be fired.
You should have tugged him on the back.
Yeah.
Star Wars reference.
Look
above and see the one slowly emerge before your eyes. Feel the swell as the moon begins to rise above the tide. All around.
The weird thing about this is it's like trying to like give you your experience. Oh, and if you're listening to the podcast, you're lost. You're totally done now. Sorry, we forgot.
Yeah.
But there's like a Twi'lek, a purple covered Twi'lek singing, and it's meant to like giving you the experience of being there. But the camera's way too close that I feel like I'm walking up right up to her face and going,
yeah.
"Hi, are these one of the activities?"
Change is coming. Something new is in the air. Come and fly.
Something just awakened in him.
Welcome to the new world. Welcome to the new world.
my gosh. I was just in there. The lights were low. And this performer just came out of nowhere.
You just met.
The lights were low.
What is going to happen at this hotel?
I'm not used to low lights.
All of my activities have good lighting.
Let's get you back to the launch pod in your home planet.
Sounds great.
All right.
Yeah, you need to send this kid back to his home planet. Because it sure as hell ain't Earth. Well, I'm sold.
they need to have a quiz down at the end of this. Did this make you want to go more?
Amazing.
Like, it's like, yeah, I'm not going. Like, this, like, so I'm just here to enjoy that. Like, that was made and put out and then hit publish.
Mm-hmm.
Book now. Dom, you have got to go right this second,
yeah,
on the minute to record the new Star Wars Underworld. Do you want to give a quick sizzle, buddy?
Yeah, we're going to be talking about a lot of the same things that we talked about here.
No.
We'll be getting into a lot of the Book of Boba Fett stuff, breaking down those TV spots from this week. Also talk about those casting rumors that we didn't have time for here, and we might have a quick look at that video again. So,
welcome to the new world.
Everybody's going to be grooving. Yeah, come on over.
Gosh, there's low lights.
So we'll have so many activities for you all. So that's on the Star Wars Underworld YouTube channel, as well as Spotify, Apple Podcasts, etc. It'll be available there tomorrow, and live shortly on the YouTube channel. So just click over from this.
All right. Well, clearly this episode's gone on
long enough.
So may that force be with you. Thanks, Dom. That was terrific.
Thank you.
Great fun.
Awesome.
I've totally pushed the wrong button. I normally go to that. Sorry. You got cut off from saying it's a trap, and I was just worried you were going to berate me on the private chat. So I messed up the end. Say your little catchphrase. Go on.
It's a wrap.
All right. Great. All right. Just chill out. Remember you're Canadian, right?
Got some activities I got to go do.
All right.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.